Hey, y'all, on this episode of the Carolina Chuck Podcast, we're going to talk to Eric Saluri with Full Throttle Saloon Shine. Check him out. Y'all be good. Peace out. All right. So what's up, Eric, man? I've heard about you since I came to town, and I heard you're in a TV show. I've never watched it.
No, I'm just playing. It's a great show.
Yeah. So, but since I found out I was going to get you on my show, I had to do a little research. So
absolutely.
I was checking it out on YouTube and everything. Yeah, it's pretty cool, dude.
Yeah, so it was on True TV for 6 years. So it was a national television show. I think two or three of the episodes are logged in the Library of Congress as the most watched episodes during that time. It was the number one TV show on True TV.
Really?
Yes. Really? Quest TV just bought all of our reruns.
Okay.
Unfortunately, up here in the North Country, we don't get Quest TV.
Okay.
Syracuse, Rochester, Buffalo does. Everywhere down south. My father lives, he's a snowbird. He lives the winter months down in Florida in Edgewater area. And I'll call him up on a Wednesday night and I'm like, hey, what are you doing, man? He's like, I'm watching you on TV right now. So it's kind of neat, you know?
Yeah. Wow. How did that happen? How did you end up out there? Because I went down your... I stalked you a little bit on Facebook. Resume is long and incredible.
Yeah, man, I'm old, buddy. Just because I'm old, that's all. So I was stationed out there.
Okay.
I was stationed at Ellsworth Air Force Base in South Dakota.
Okay.
I was a senior master sergeant at the time, which is an E-8. I retired as an E-9, so that for the local Fort Drum type folks, that's a sergeant major, right? Mm-hmm. It's the highest enlisted rank that you can be. I was stationed out there, and I was the police superintendent. I had about 225 cops under me. And we were trying to raise money for an orphanage. So the poorest county in the nation is up at the Pine Ridge Reservation, just outside of the Air Force Base in South Dakota. And there's a Black Hills orphanage up there of 70 little kiddos that don't have anything.
Oh, man.
So as we're sitting around doing our, it was called the Defender Association. It is called the Defender Association. We're sitting around trying to figure out how we're going to raise money. And it was one of those, hey, we can't have a bake sale because no one's going to buy any baked goods from a bunch of cops. We can't have a car wash.
Yeah.
No one's going to bring their cars to a bunch of cops. I had watched the first episode or the first season of Full Throttle Saloon on True TV, and security was a bunch of Tennessee boys. They all talk like you, pal.
Yeah.
Being a little too rough with bikers.
Yeah. Okay.
So I thought, man, I know my guys could do way better than that. We're all certified police officers. So. Mm-hmm. I loaded up a couple of us, and I drove to the bar. I had my detective. His name's Detective O'Brien. OB found out, stalked, did a little bit of his detective work, and found out that Michael Ballard, the owner, was in the bar that day. So we drove down. I waited about an hour and a half. And the funny story, while I'm waiting, I'm sitting there talking to this really old, really cool-looking biker guy for probably an hour and a half. And Jesse James Dupree, the lead singer for Jackal, walks by.
Really?
So I'm like kind of freaking out a little bit. I hadn't really met anyone famous at that time. So I hop up and I'm like, hey, man. He's like, hey. And I give him a big hug, talk to him for 5 minutes. And I sit down and I look at the old guy and I'm like, I love that guy. And he goes, well, I do too. It's my son. So I'd been sitting there talking to Rip, Jesse James Dupree's dad, for about an hour and a half and didn't even know.
Wow.
So then Michael Ballard walks by and there were cameras rolling, even though it was May 31st of 2011. I remember the exact day because I text him every day saying, can you believe that this relationship has turned into what it is? So May 31st of 2011, and I hopped up and said, hey, I'm a huge fan of your show. I was in uniform. He gave me a hug and thanked me for his service. And I'm always a little skeptical when you're huggy right off the jump, right? I'm like, is this for the cameras? Or come to find out he's like the greatest human being ever. I told him, hey, big fan, and your security's terrible.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, you know, I agree with you. And I go, cool. I'm running it. I'm giving you all my Air Force cops. We're doing it for free. He said, what's the catch? I said, write a check to my charity so I can take care of these kiddos. So he's like, deal. Go talk to Angie. Angie's his wife.
Uh-huh.
They weren't married then.
Okay.
And she's incredibly beautiful. So I'm like, hell yeah, I'll go talk to Angie, right? Yeah. So I walk in. We talk with her. We kind of seal the deal. And what it must have been the first full week of August, there I am for running orientation, and I'm the head of security. So I was never mic'd up.
Yeah.
I was never trying to be on the TV show. I just... You know, if you caught a glimpse of me walking by, cool, my friends back home could go, hey, I think that was Eric that walked by.
Yeah, yeah.
And all my troops are coming over the radio calling me, hey, senior, we need you over here. hey, senior, we need you over here. Mm-hmm. So Michael Ballard comes over the radio and goes, who's senior? Did I hire somebody named senior? Mm-hmm. And I go, it's me, Eric. They have to call me that. I'll explain it later. So I'm hiding from the camera crew for the first 5 days, there's a couple of guys that were from the previous crew, civilians, that stayed for continuity.
Right.
And me and this big guy, we tackled a guy, and he got pepper spray. His pepper spray canister broke all over his midsection. And he said, hey, senior, and I'm going to church it up a little bit. He says, okay. Senior, I have pepper spray around my midsection.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to kiss on my girlfriend for at least a month.
I know what that means.
So I said, if it's every month you kiss on your girlfriend, you're on a hot streak, fatty.
Yeah.
And he laughed, and I heard the camera crew laughed. So I went about my business that night. The next day, five people, that's how much is in a camera crew. You got an executive producer, a person who signs the releases, a camera crew, a lighting guy, and you know, so all of them come running up to my, I had a little Hummer at the time, an H3. They come running up to my vehicle, and they're like, I thought there was a fight. So I hopped out ready to fight. You know, I'm a Northsider. I'm a Northside Siluri. You know, okay. I'm ready to fight, right? And I can take, like, my brothers and stuff. So just in case that comes out later in this. I hop out ready to fight, and they said, no, we sent that clip. Mm-hmm. We're going to make you a character on the TV show. And I said, no, you are not, because I did not clear that with the Air Force. So next year is when my character kind of took off. I say character because I don't know what you call it, but personality, whatever you call it on a reality television show.
Yeah.
And then that was it. And I stayed in the military doing it 2011, 13, 14. I was in Afghanistan the whole time. Mm. 2015, and then I retired. And then 2015, when I retired, I took over as the vice president of sales for all the Full Throttle distillery that we have.
All right, so how did that happen?
I was a cop in the Air Force, like I said, but there was a brief stint, so I got divorced. Okay. I got custody of my children.
Okay.
So the only way to not deploy really in the Air Force is to do a special duty assignment. Mm-hmm. So I became a recruiter in the Boston area. So I did a recruiter. I was a recruiter for a couple of years in the Boston area. And then I got hired as the instructor and later the instructor supervisor for Air Force Recruiting School. So I taught sales and I taught marketing for four mm-hmm. years. So obviously having that relationship with the Ballard family and the TV show people and Jesse James Dupree, they knew I had a sales background and a marketing background. So once I retired 2 weeks later, they immediately hired me to run sales for their Jesse James Bourbon I did at that time, mm-hmm. and then all the Full Throttle spirits.
What was your first sales job?
Just recruiting.
Yeah.
I mean, I worked at you don't know what Spaziani's Pizza is. If you did, it would be life-changing because it's not here anymore. It was down on Swan Street. Okay. So I started working for Hank Spaziani. It was me, a couple of like wonderful older Italian ladies, one older Italian guy. Hank Spaziani ran it. Spaziani family's a great family. And then me and Chris Carbone. You know Chris Carbone?
I think so.
Great guy. So Chris Carbone's like 18 and I'm 14, 15.
Yeah.
So we're making pizzas at the greatest pizza place you've ever had in your life. So that was my job. So it's not really sales, but after that I got a job at the YMCA, I got a job at Ames, and then I got a job at Crescent Pizza, which isn't here anymore. Mm-hmm. It was over on Mill Street and at the top of Arsenal Street. And they are great people. Mari Peters, he owns a pizza place now down in Kentucky. Cave City Pizza, it's unbelievable. So I worked there for a little while. So I wouldn't really call it sales. I worked at Sherwood Florist, which was a florist here in town. So not sales, but I had a lot of interaction with people.
My first real job was in pizza, too.
Was it?
Fox's Pizza in Clover, South Carolina.
And that's a chain, Fox's
Pizza. It's a chain.
Yeah, we don't eat chain pizzas around here, pal.
Hey, that's what I learned, dude. I didn't know about pizza until I got here.
You didn't? Like, where are you at? What, North Carolina or South Carolina?
I'm from South Carolina, but I lived on the border.
Okay,
right? Right around, the best way to describe it is I lived in Charlotte because I lived about 30 minutes south of Charlotte.
Gotcha.
And that's just the easiest way to describe it. But born in Columbia. My dad worked our way back up towards, not back up, but worked us up towards Charlotte. He was also a police officer.
Oh, cool.
He was the chief of police in Great Falls, South Carolina.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
And along the same lines of what you're talking about, he actually became a member of the Waccamaw Native American tribe down in Myrtle Beach.
Oh, wow.
Around Myrtle Beach. People go down there. It's a little town called Aynard. It's right outside of Myrtle Beach. That's where their land is. And he became the the chief of constables. So I actually went down there and helped him work a powwow or something.
Oh, that's
just
great.
Walking
that's
around
awesome,
a security
man.
Shirt, telling people to move their dogs and stuff. You know, nothing like what you did. And then tackle the body or spray their midsection with pepper spray or anything. But yeah, it's kind of neat. But no, so that was kind of when I came up here, I realized I have been eating fast food pizza and I finally experienced gourmet pizza.
Oh, it's next level.
And it's just...
Go to Mr. Sub Pizza right here downtown.
I've never been there. Oh. I've never been there. I've seen it.
How do you have a show about Northern New York?
That's what I'm learning, dude.
And you haven't had
you.
Mr. Sub Pizza.
I haven't had it.
I asked for it thin and light sauce. It's square, like Spaziani's used to be, mm-hmm. and it's the closest thing you're ever going to have to Spaziani's. That's all I'll eat.
Yeah, I'm a big Arch Jug fan.
Yeah, Arch Jug is great. Absolutely.
Papatino's. I like Papatino's pretty good. And
when you go to Mr. Sub, it's going to change your life.
Yeah, I'm gonna try that out for
they're
sure.
They're the greatest. They're the greatest people. The Frone family is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great people.
I'll check it out. I promise you. This is.
Have you had Black Betty's at the Time Warp yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Now those are banging.
Absolutely. Those have you really had an espresso martini over at the Paddock Club? You haven't been drinking in a long time.
No, I quit doing that, but I've heard about that. And there's something else is it the Crystal that does it New Year's?
The Crystal does. So the Crystal does a Tom and Jerry. So does the Paddock Club. Crystal mm-hmm. does a Tom and Jerry, and they have their traditional one that they've done for, I don't know. I have a picture of my grandfather out in front of the Crystal at 19 years old.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
He died in 1999, and I think he was like 83. So that's how long that's been there. But they also have my peppermint moonshine, my apple pie moonshine, my espresso. So I'll make it with that. If you make a Tom and Jerry with my espresso, it's phenomenal.
I'm gonna tell you.
Look, you and I are gonna hang out for 30 days straight.
Yep.
Okay. And I'm gonna take you to all the places. Cody Morgia hasn't taken you around. Shame on him.
Cody
Shame
Morgia,
on Cody, yeah, that Cody, little cousin
he's a,
of mine.
He's a busy guy.
He is a
you
busy
know,
guy.
It took me about a year to get him to do one thing with me.
Really?
Yeah, he's balling.
When I was 17 years old, both the Caprera brothers, Billy and Charlie, would come into Crescent's Pizza or call into Crescent's Pizza and order their pizza and say, I only want the Saluri kid to make my pizza. I don't want anyone else to make
it. Wow.
And I knew exactly how they wanted it. I'd make their pizza every time for them.
You know... Weirdly enough, this is how I met my wife.
Okay.
My wife is from up here. That's how
good.
I ended
she's,
up here.
She's a good human being then.
Yeah, yeah. You're friends with her mother on Facebook. She's and her mom Uh-oh. Said she went to school with you.
Oh not, no, I'm that not, could be so bad.
I'm not gonna name names.
We're gonna yeah. end this right yeah. now.
She said, yeah, because I asked her to talk to her today. She said, yeah, I went to school with him.
Oh,
Anyways, gotcha. So her,
that could be bad.
Yeah, her,
that could be horrible.
Christy's dad, my wife Christy, is first cousins with Billy and Charlie.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So that's how I ended up here. Helen, their mom, is sisters with her grandmother Harriet.
Oh, okay,
gotcha. So that's how I ended up here. So I was actually delivering pizzas when I met her. She was
up here.
No, down there.
Down there, gotcha.
They moved down south when her parents split up when
okay,
she was
gotcha.
Little. And I actually met her when I was delivering pizzas. She was babysitting somewhere. And I went back to, I was like, dang, that was a pretty girl. You know, I went back to the dealership, to the pizza place. And a couple days later, she actually came in. And my manager had me back there doing all kinds of stuff. Mean little lady had me back there just working.
That's what absolutely.
But she ended up getting her number for me, which was
kind of
weird.
That's a
but
hell of a wingman right there, buddy. Yeah,
it was cool. She was being so mean to me, but she ended up getting this pretty girl's phone number for me. And
maybe she knew you didn't have any game.
Yeah, I don't know. I got a little.
You
bit.
Got a little bit of game?
I mean, not really. I just okay, got. Gotcha. I got some cornball stuff that I throw out there.
My hypothesis.
But yeah, so here we are, like 16 years later.
Yeah, that's great, dude.
Meeting at a pizza
Congrats,
place.
Man. That's awesome.
Yeah, so.
And you're in a great area. I mean, this area is unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, it's supported so well by Fort Drum.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was my last assignment, my last deployment, I should say, was I was the E-9 in charge of base defense for the Expeditionary Base Defense Squadron at Bagram Airfield in Afghanistan.
God.
And I fell under the 10th Mountain Division. And I'm thinking to myself, how crazy is that going all full circle
to
I'm now working for the 10th Mountain Division, which was wild. I mean, you talk about a crazy deployment. You're at an old Russian base in Bagram Airfield, Afghanistan, and I was there for a little over 6 months or right around 6 months, and we got bombed from 107 rockets of 74 times while I was there, 34 different attacks. It was crazy. I mean, it was, I remember calling up my wife, who's from Boston. She had already been to Afghanistan, and that was kind of a source of tension in our house, that she was the HR person and she's been there, and I'm the big bad defender and I've never been. And I can remember calling her saying, hey, I don't think I'm coming home from this one. She's like, really? And I'm like, no, this is next level right here, pal.
I mean, I made a good friend since I've been up here, a Southern guy.
You know, you guys are like this.
Yeah. Well, he ended up getting deployed.
Did you sell him a car?
I did. That's how I meet anybody. But anyway,
ABC, buddy. Always be closing.
Yeah, absolutely. ABC. And sold him a car, but then he got deployed, and before he left, dude, it touched me because I've never really experienced that kind of stuff, you know, the military's things.
Right.
And we had a little kind of a send-off, you know.
Right.
And I'm just only known him for a couple months, you know, not even, you know, we weren't that good of friends yet. But I guess we were, because he asked me to have my wife hang out with his wife.
Oh, that's
which,
great.
Which, well, I was, like, completely honored.
Yeah,
I was
that's
like,
awesome.
Dude.
That's awesome.
And then him and his wife and my wife became, like, best friends. I mean, we had his family over for the holidays and stuff.
Killer.
Well, now
Killer.
He's back, and we're, and whenever he gets a couple of beers in him, he starts telling me what he saw. I was like,
those 10th Mountain boys and those 10th Mountain girls, I mean, that's no joke
there. Yeah, it ain't no.
You know, it's one of those things to where I don't think the community fully understands, one, I mean, some do, some don't, I'm sure, how much that installation supports us, right?
And
just what, this is an infantry base, just what those young men and women go through. And I'm telling you, they're the closest things to ninjas that you're going to find. You know what I mean? They're tough as nails.
Yeah.
They go in the most austere conditions that you could ever possibly imagine. The things that they do would make it so a normal human being wouldn't sleep for years. So
and he was
every time I see him, I always, you know, give him a handshake.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Especially at the gym. I work, you know, when I'm at working out the gym, it's full of all of them. And they're great people.
Yeah, and I'm learning a heck of a lot and getting – And that's sort of what I want to do with this show is what I can, you know, try to help them out, learn about the area.
You should go get the general. You should go get the general of Fort Drum and have him come on here. Clear it through public affairs. Don't do what I did with the TV show and not clear it first.
Yeah.
But yeah, clear it and just kind of listen to the stories. I'm sure that general has seen more stuff than you could ever possibly imagine. It'd be a great transition for people of the community to kind of see the 5, 10, 15, 30-meter, 100-meter targets that they're trying to achieve in this in this area, because they're heroes of mine. And I was in that fight for 23 years. My wife was in it for 26 years. You know, it's funny because when I leave for Sturgis, I'm gone for, you know, 3 weeks or a month or whatever. And my regular civilian friends are like, wow, that must be so tough. And I'm like, I've kissed my wife goodbye for 6 months. She came back for a couple of months and then left again for 6 more months. So a month is like a well-needed vacation. She's got the dog here. I got my family out at Full Throttle Saloon, and you just don't even bat an eye at it. Whereas a civilian, you know, they get all teary-eyed when they're not with their spouse for 3 days, you know, for a weekend.
I'm like, telling you, if I don't sleep next to my wife, I don't sleep.
Right. Well, I got a dog, so I cuddle with my dog if she's not around. Yeah.
I'll try to get one of the kids to come, but they're big enough. They're like, nah.
Yeah, I don't want that. Mine are grown. My daughter lives in Greenville, South Carolina. She's down there.
Hey.
Yep, she does hair down there. My son just got married up here. He got married at the Absolute Breeze Event Center out in Cape Vincent. So he got married out, which is the greatest venue ever, by the way. Mm-hmm. He got married there, and him and his wife live in Vegas. She's a PhD full-time professor at UNLV. He was teaching at UNLV as well while he's trying to get his PhD as well. So.
Well, yeah, congratulations.
Yeah. They're great kids. I got great kids. Yeah. Now I got a great daughter-in-law, so it's killer. And my wife's from Boston, so we moved up here, maybe 6 years ago, bought a house right out on the lake.
Nice.
And it's funny because we used to drive by that house all the time because we used to have a cottage at the end of South Shore Road in Pillar Point.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And we would drive by this house and always think, wow, look at this house. It's a phenomenal house. And it went on the market, and the price kept dropping. And I wanted to buy it when it was around $800,000, $900,000. I was going to buy it. And Randy Razzo was a good friend of mine. He was my realtor, and he's like, nah, no one's buying it. Just keep letting it go. And sure enough, my wife was going to try to retire early. She couldn't. So sure enough, when she retired, we ended up getting that house for probably a third of what it's worth.
Wow.
Put about 250, 300 grand into absolute construction, redid the whole inside for me. I built a huge deck. Seaway Marine Group did like a 60-foot L-shaped deck, or dock, I'm sorry, dock yeah. out front in the water. And she's like, wow. I'll move back. I'll move to your hometown, she said.
Yeah.
If you give me that house. And the goal was to always move back here and be the mayor. Really? I thought, I've lived in so many different cities that I have a wealth of knowledge on what I'd like to see this place become. And I'm going to be the mayor. I didn't know that there was a rule you had to live in the city to be the mayor. So I was pretty much devastated when I found that out. So,
oh, man.
So now it's like, you know, how am I going to give back? What am I going to do? And I do a lot of that. With the full throttle, I do like a lot of charity ride. We're going to do a charity ride October 12th. I just met with Jessica Cabrera today and the American Cancer Society. So we're going to do, hello, motorcycle. We're going to do a breast cancer charity ride. It's going to start up at Harley-Davidson on October 12th,
Saturday.
Oh, yeah,
we're doing the Real Men Wear Pink thing.
Yeah, that's it. Real Men Wear Pink. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, we're working on it.
She's a great lady that took over that program from Don Boschart. Yeah, so.
Bonnie.
Yeah, she's killer.
She had some really nice things to say about you, but when she...
I pay her. I pay anyone that says it. I got like 30 people in my pocket. They get a dollar every time they say something nice. They wouldn't have said that, you know, if they've known me since I was like 12.
Well, she was really, really surprised in some of your conversation. It was really nice.
She's really good people. So, yeah, it's just a chance to give back. You know, during my military career, you know, when you retire, you look at all your performance reports that you had, and you kind of build yourself a little story, if you would. Mm-hmm. And I think I've raised, because I did a lot of charity stuff my whole career, I think 1.2 or 1.4, I think it was off the top of my head. I don't really remember. $1 million for charity. Just me, myself. Yeah. A lot of stuff, man. I was a DARE officer for a number of years. I was the chief of criminal investigations at Hanscom Air Force Base. I did like undercover stuff. And yeah, man, I've done like a lot of really cool stuff. I'm really fortunate as a kid from the North Side. I got 3 associates, a bachelor's, a master's, graduated summa cum laude, graduated with honors, my master's. And I was that kid in school. When I say that kid,
that's exactly what I was getting at. I was like, this guy's got to be similar to me because you've done a lot. And like, I've got ADHD bad. I was wild in school.
If I was your age, they would have diagnosed me with that for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I was the guy who I think I got like a 700 or something on my SATs. And I may be giving myself a couple. I just didn't care. You know, I mean, I had great teachers, but I had a couple that, like Marcia Trick was one of my favorite instructors. Miss Trick was our teacher. She was unbelievable. I've called her at 12:30 at night before because she's friends with my neighbor, Kevin Renshaw. So I've called her and she answers the phone on FaceTime. I'm like, Miss Trick, I love you. You know, and Russ Fonts was a great mentor for me. He was he ran the choir program. And Dave Simmons, who just passed away, was a choreographer. I did a lot of choir stuff in high school.
Really?
I did a lot of, I did like Babe Ruth baseball in the summertime. I did a little, I think I went to like JV level for lacrosse, maybe just modified. Could have been just modified for lacrosse, but I did a lot of musicals. That was kind of my big thing. A lot of dancing, a lot of singing. Like, I come from a musical family. My father's been in bands since he was like 13. My little brother's in a band. My older brother was in a band. I was in a band in Boston for about 3 years. So I sang and played guitar. Yeah. So that was like, you got an instrument for Christmas. You know, what do you want to learn to play? I want to learn to play this. Here you go.
Wow.
And that's what you played.
That's cool. And I was just cutting a commercial for the Music Education Center.
Oh, really?
And I'm sitting here trying to, he's like, get kind of creative with it. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that's great.
And then I'm talking about kids trying to learn to play musical instruments. No, I like the shoes, by the way.
The Griffies. I got a pretty extensive. Oh, you know, I was going to wear some Jordans. Yeah. I got about probably 75 pairs of Jordans. I got original number 2s. I was gonna wear some really cool ones, and I went, you know something, I'm a Griffey lover, so I got about 15 pairs of Griffeys, so I'll wear some
sick
throwback. These are the originals, not any reproduction ones or anything, but yeah.
Man,
I just got, I had the greatest moment at Full Throttle Saloon for me, and we're talking about sneakers, and I'll get to that, but in 2011, I started in 2011, so maybe it was 2012 or 2013, the band Cinderella, Your parents know who that is. Mm-hmm. They got back together to play Full Throttle Saloon. Mm-hmm. All the original members, Tom Kiefer, who I've become, you know, friendly with, and White Snake, Faster okay. Pussycat. I think a guy from Guns N' Roses, Ricky Rackman, who was on Headbangers Ball, all wanted to come on stage and watch Cinderella. So of course I know who they are, right? So I'm new to the show, so I'm still that, you know, freaking out a little bit when I meet somebody. And I put them up on stage and I'm like, hey, I'm senior. If you need anything, just kind of, you guys know what you're doing. So just, you know, mm-hmm. don't run up on while they're performing, run up on the middle of the stage. And I'm walking backwards. And I'm like, all right, have a good show. And I bumped into somebody. And I turned around to say, I'm sorry. And it was DMC from Run DMC. And I looked at him and I go, no way, bro. And he goes, way, bro. So I don't know why, but I just hugged him.
Yeah.
And hugging him, and he's big,
yeah.
As I'm hugging him, I go, I can't let go. And his response was, well, you better hold on then. And I went, this is the nicest guy ever. So fast forward to this year at Full Throttle Saloon,
yeah.
They did a celebrity motorcycle ride. So it was Mike, Jesse, Angie, Goat from the TV show, Senior from the TV show, Danny from Countin' Customs, the out in Vegas, the car refurbishing TV show, and DMC from Run DMC. We're all going to be on this celebrity motorcycle ride.
Mm-hmm.
And DMC, Daryl hurt his shoulder, and he said, hey, Senior, man, my shoulder's killing me. And I said, well, I don't even have a motorcycle here. Mine's at home. Let's ride together in this Denali. So me, Daryl in the passenger seat, and his son gets in the back seat, and we're going to be riding together. We're going to be together for 6 hours straight. So I'm like, if I could have told the 15-year-old version of me that you're going to be in a Denali with DMC. So I put it on Rock the Bells radio on XM. Yeah, and yeah. All we had a rap off and a rap knowledge back and forth for 6 hours. And he's looking at me like, how do you even know this? And my quote to him was, don't get the misconception on my complexion. I know a whole lot about hip hop back in the day, right?
Yeah, so, yeah.
And that turned into, hey, Senior, let me get your number. Here's my number.
Ooh.
So now I'm like, oh my God, you know, DMC. And he's going to be coming up here to the North Country.
What?
Staying with me. And he's going to be, he wrote a children's book. So okay. He's going, Google it. He's going to be talking to elementary, middle, and high schools. So you're going to do three of them, and it's going to be, I'm going to read the book to the little kids. I'm going to, you know, hopefully go in the auditorium. So I proposed it to Watertown High because mm-hmm. I want them to go to Starbuck, my school. Mm-hmm. I want them to go to Case Junior, my school, and I wanted them to come to Watertown High.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't that receptive on it. So okie dokie, I'm calling Indian River. And go figure, I know the superintendent of Indian River School. I was friends with her brother, Steve Kronk, and it's not Mrs. Kronk anymore. She's married now. So her and I have a great conversation. She's like, oh my God, this sounds amazing. And I'm like, yes. So we don't have dates yet. We're still in the works, but he's going to come up for that. So the DMC from Run DMC, the godfather of everything hip hop, will be having a Mr. Sub pizza, having a direct sub, going to Carrie Green's at the Blue Heron and having Friday fish fry, going over to the Paddock Club or Goodfellas and having an espresso martini. I mean, it's going to be like next level.
Wow.
It's weird, right? So it's so weird when you meet these people because you're in awe, right? You're like, holy moly, this is Travis Tritt, say, right?
Right.
And then you become, you know, friendly with them, and then you become friends with them. And Travis Tritt sends me Christmas cards, and I send him Christmas cards. Tanya Tucker is my go-to. If I've had a little bit too much Full Throttle espresso, I'll call Tanya Tucker at 1 o'clock in the morning. And then the next morning, I'm like, hey, Tanya, I'm sorry. I had her in the back of my motorcycle. You know what I mean?
What?
Bret Michaels is the nicest human being ever.
No way.
If you looked at Bret Michaels and you're talking to him and you told him how great his shirt is, he'll take it off and give it to you. I mean, he's like the Elvis of hair bands.
So
I have 75 autographed guitars in my house from everybody that I've met. This weekend, I was doing Ocean City. I'm friends with the Tesla guys. So Tesla's down there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm friendly with Ted Nugent. He's down there. But I've never met Styx before. Cheap Trick was there. I met all those guys. I got to meet Tommy Shaw for the first time in my life Saturday. What is it? Tuesday today?
It was 6 days ago because yeah. I was looking at your Facebook
Bro,
page.
I'm not kidding you. I cried like a 12-year-old at a Justin Bieber concert.
Wow.
I'm talking to him and tears are rolling down my face. He's looking at me and I'm like, man, you don't even know what you mean to me. Paradise Theater, me in my bedroom with the headphones. He was the nicest, greatest. He gave me a hug, and that hug felt like it lasted 5 hours, probably 3 seconds. But wow. It was Tommy Shaw, like 71 years old, still one of the greatest voices ever. Just unbelievable. I hung with Richard Marx and showed him my senior picture and said, hey, man, I didn't want my hair to look like yours too much. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm that guy. I'm still That's a fangirl. Awesome, you know what I mean? Dude, yeah. But I try to maintain, you know, some level of cool. You know what I mean? Yeah, and, and obviously they want like some modicum of privacy when they're doing their stuff. But I obviously want to. I want to talk, you know, hey, I remember when I was this. So what was the deal with this band member and you?
Yeah, you got questions.
But I got to kind of be a little mellow and be in the room, you know, and just kind of be like, hey.
Absorb it.
Hey, how you doing? Like it's not making me just freak out. And I'm fangirling, man, for sure. But I've learned to internalize that so that they don't know that I'm
acting. I was actually hanging out with Ray Mercer. He's a professional boxer.
I saw the picture, dude. Yeah, Ray Mercer is bad.
What a freaking cool dude.
Yeah, he was a monster. He was wearing all Army, right? All Army clothes or something.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Yeah, he was, dude. And, I mean, wow. Just the conversations we had. I got to sit at the table with him at the military appreciation dinner.
Absolutely.
That Johnny Pett was putting on.
Right.
And he was telling me a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff. Oh, his fights I can imagine. Stuff. It was crazy.
He was a beast. He was tough back in the day.
I'm trying to get him on the podcast with his manager.
Where's home for him?
He lives in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Oh, so we're going to have to do like a Skype.
Yeah,
thing.
Absolutely.
But his manager kind of stepped in. He's like, oh, we got to make it in his interest and all that. I'm like,
come on, man. Yeah, right? No, it ain't all about that. You know, what I've noticed is a lot of times management is the wall in between you and the. I'm sure Ray Mercer's a great guy and he wants to.
Yeah.
And they're going to figure out what can I get from this. And I hate that. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm like, you know,
you're messing with what I'm trying to do here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was like, bro, yeah, come on. But so what was the conversation like with Watertown? Because here's what.
With who?
With Watertown, we're trying to get the guy to come in and talk to schools.
Oh, so
they weren't receptive. Because here's what I did. I also did a podcast with the president of the school board of Watertown.
Okay, got you.
And he's
so mine was I called to speak to the superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me the email address and the phone number, I believe, of the assistant.
Mm-hmm.
I sent them an email and explained, hey, this is the opportunity that we have. Mm-hmm. And then I got an email back saying, we'll let you know if we're interested. I thought, you're going to let me know if you're interested in having the greatest hip-hop god ever here? And I said, great, I'm going to give you a week, and then I'm going to have to start shopping him around.
I
gave him two. I never heard back again, and I went, all right, we'll see. And then Indian River was insanely receptive. It was immediately... That patched me right through.
I'm just saying because I got a kid that goes to Sherman. I got a kid in Case, and I got a kid.
Oh, you got
in
a kid that goes to Sherman. You're on the good side of town.
Yeah.
I got to talk to Charlie. So he might be paying you a little too much. Yeah.
Well, here's what I did when I got here. I was kind of like almost ended up on the Ohio side of town.
Well, your kid just would have been tougher and smarter if they were over there.
Yeah. Well, you know, but I was scared of the snow. So I wanted to get somewhere close to the fire department. I figure they're going to plow it better, you know.
The snow here now is nothing compared to what it was when I was a kid.
I ain't never seen snow before.
Come on, man. When I was a kid, you were safer at school. So you'd have 6 feet of snow that you would have to work your way through to go to the bus stop. Now, if there's a sprinkle, they're like, all right, we're going to cancel. They cancel school now here in New York. If they think it's going to snow, they cancel it the night before. I'm like, what happened to my town?
I moved up here.
We're Snowtown USA, buddy.
Yeah.
We're supposed to have snow. We're supposed to have snow in May. That's how we roll.
I told you I knew the president of the school board, didn't I? That's why the schools started canceling it.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah, they're afraid of Carolina Chuck.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Look, so let's talk a little bit about moonshine. So how did the moonshine thing? That was you're obviously in the sales of it.
Yep.
Here's a cool story. I don't know how
your moonshine that you're drinking down there is probably a completely different moonshine than I'm pushing, my friend. But go ahead.
I also met a famous person.
Okay, go ahead. Who?
You ever seen the movie Deliverance?
I have.
All right.
Don't say the guy on the porch, bro. I
actually know him too.
Okay.
I got his phone number right now.
Okay.
Billy, his name's Billy.
Yeah, yeah.
And but the guy that held the shotgun.
Oh my God.
What yes, is wrong his with name you? Was Cowboy.
All right, stop telling people that story.
No, I've actually, as a recorded podcast.
Did he at any point in time tell you had a pretty mouth?
Yes, it's in the podcast.
Oh, that's great.
Listen, it's funny, but it also is sad because I did a podcast with him on a Sunday. He died Wednesday. Car accident.
What are you telling me what's going
to
happen to me?
I'm just saying you better knock on some wood when you walk up out of here. Yeah, I didn't do it with him here. I did it with, because he's a good friend of my dad. My dad loved the movie. Ended up finding him, right?
Oh, wow.
And he lived like an hour or two away into North Carolina. He went up to his house. Oh, he was on a TV show on, I want to say it was True TV. It was called Hillbilly Blood.
Really?
And
that sounds like a True TV.
Yeah, and he was just out there doing hillbilly. And he was like legit hillbilly as hell.
Oh, wow.
And he made moonshine.
Oh, yeah.
And he made some fire moonshine.
In a creek.
Yeah.
Down yonder.
Yeah. Down yonder.
In the lower 40.
And whew, that stuff will get you.
So that stuff will come out like 180 proof, make you go blind.
Yes.
Right? So ours is 70 proof, right? So it's more of a commercial. So all the clear stuff is just like a flavored vodka. It really is. If you look at all moonshine means is it's made with corn.
Right, right.
Tito's vodka is made with corn.
Right, right, right.
So Michael Ballard, who owns Full Throttle Saloon and a couple other businesses, actually, he just thought, man, I'd like to get into this. Moonshiners, the TV show, had just kicked off.
It was a thing.
So I'm friends with Josh from the TV show. I'm friends with Tim Smith. I've gone out to dinner with Tim Smith in a 5-star restaurant in, where were we? Were we in West Virginia? And everyone's in nice clothes. I went home and changed before, and he comes in overalls with no shirt underneath and sat down and ate his meal. I thought, this is the craziest thing ever.
Yes.
But our stuff is so Michael Ballard decided he wanted to get into the moonshine world. So our stuff is, it started off with just a blackberry, a peach, and an apple, not even the apple pie. Those were the three original flavors. Or maybe it was I think those were the three original flavors. That was long before I came into the picture. Mm-hmm. I was actually in the bar with my friend Alex Mendez when Michael Ballard was testing the samples. And he goes, "Senior, get over." And I'm not a drinker. I wasn't even a drinker really in high school. You give me two drinks and I'm drunk, right? Mm-hmm. You give me a bottle of North Country Red from the TI Winery and I won't remember things for 3 days. So that's the greatest stuff ever, right?
Yeah, it's really good. It's unbelievable.
And I tried the mango and ran outside and damn near vomited it out. I tried another flavor and spit it out immediately, and then I tried the peach. And I went, that's your money right there.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you don't drink. And I said, exactly. If I liked it, everyone's going to like it. So he started that company, and there was a regular, they called it Platinum, which is just a corn-based, clear moonshine. You know, shake it. It's got the bubbles. You would probably like that. Mm-hmm. It's like a roasted. It makes great Bloody Marys, like a roasted corn taste. Mm-hmm. And then I knew it was there. Obviously, they sold it in the bar they were selling it. He built a distillery in Trimble, Tennessee, his hometown, 600 people, has a gigantic distillery there, brick and mortar. It's not one of those celebrity brands to where they throw their name on something. He owns everything. So, So then he grew that to 11 different flavors of moonshine. He's got his own whiskey. He's got a regular whiskey, an apple whiskey, a cinnamon whiskey, a honey whiskey, and then... Then came the espresso, the Full Throttle espresso, and I'm not even a coffee guy, is probably the greatest alcoholic beverage ever created. Unbelievable.
So they got the little jars like
minis.
That.
Minis, they got the minis, the 50 mLs.
My goodness.
Equivalent of two shots.
Bro, that was, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yes.
When I came back into town, I had been working all day, dragging my bag of moonshine, trying to get it in a bunch of different stores. And I would say probably 90% of them in this area have it. A bunch of like bars and restaurants do. And I stopped by to say hey to Cody and I had my bag. And Frankie was like, I didn't even know Frankie at the time. Obviously, I knew his dad.
When I first heard about you or did about the moonshine, it came out of Frankie's mouth.
Well, we sat in the office drinking it. Yeah, it was 7 o'clock at night. And they were like, oh my God. I did their, I set up a tent and did a tasting at the, their grandfather's charity golf tournament last year.
Really?
Yep. And then Jessica just yelled at me today because I wasn't at it this year. And I said, well, why didn't one of you Caprera kiddos call me? Because I would have been there every time. I love that family. I bought my first car from them. I used to make pizzas, like I was saying, for them. And I'm in Caprera's. I'm 17 or 18. I think I was 18 trying to buy a car, and the salesman wouldn't budge. He was like either 250 away or 500 away from what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And we're going back and forth, buddy. Like you wouldn't be ready for me if I sat down at your table. You and I we'd wrestle. Yeah. So Charlie walks by and says, "Hey, what's going on, Eric?" And I go, "Oh, we're off on the price." He's like, "How far off?" And I think I was like, $500. And he goes, "Give it to him." And then smiled at me and walked away. And I went, "Well, there you go. Here's my car." And I bought a car. Oldsmobile Calais, Cutlass Calais, I think it was. Canadian car. Oh, wow. And they never switched over the odometer.
Yeah.
So everything was in kilometers.
Oh.
It was crazy. Yeah. That was insane.
Yeah. Golly.
Yeah. Great people.
Now, I had a customer who about the espresso stuff. He came in. He was a little bit older guy. He was talking about he was playing dominoes with his family or something. He invited me to his house and everything. And he's like, "Man, my wife got me these espresso things, and it had me so twisted or whatever." And then I'm in the store, and I see him. I'm like, "Man, if it worked for him, it could work for me."
Absolutely.
So I tried them out. Then I think the store ran out of them or something.
Probably. They go fast, man.
Yeah.
Like right now, it's apple pie season, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Burrville Cider Mill. You've been there. Tell me you've been to the Burrville Cider Mill.
I've been to the Burrville. And here's what I was going to say. That military guy I was originally talking about, I actually got him a jar of the apple pie
for his
birthday like 2 weeks ago or a week ago.
So you take that Burrville cider
and
mix it with the apple pie moonshine.
Yep.
It's fall. I mean,
it's the fall.
I drink that, and I don't, like I said, I don't really drink, but I'll drink that from now, September, all the way through almost to Christmas time frame.
Yep.
And then Christmas time is always Tom and Jerry time.
Yeah, it's like, and that's the cool thing about the seasonal thing when you're drinking and stuff too.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I remember back being a kid, like, and drinking like real peach moonshine with my uncle for Thanksgiving.
That's wild. Oh, that had to be a tough time right there.
Yeah, I'd get lit, and I wasn't old enough to be drinking, but he didn't care.
Nice. Things are different down there in South Carolina.
Yeah. Man, he took me to a Mexican restaurant, and he's like, "Man, you want a margarita?" I was like, I said, "Yeah." So I'm sitting there.
What are you, like 10?
No, I was old enough to, I didn't have my driver's license, but I knew how to drive a manual because he got lit and couldn't drive the damn U-Haul truck because he was moving. And it was a manual U-Haul truck.
You're driving a gigantic U-Haul.
Yeah, and I was half lit, too.
It was pretty crazy.
But anyways.
Good times.
But here's the funny part. He had found a pistol, a .22 pistol at his house while he was moving. And
Go out to the general public?
Yeah, well.
Okay, go ahead. Keep going.
I'll edit some of it out. Not for the podcast.
Right.
But my other uncle's going to listen to this, though. He's a truck driver.
Gotcha.
And he found a .22 pistol in his house, and he put it in his pocket. And when he was going to pay at the Mexican restaurant, he set it on the counter. I was like, "What the hell are you doing, dude?" And he's like, "Oh, shit." And he put it back in his pocket. I was like, "Come on, dude." Oh,
my Lord. That's crazy.
It was, he was wild. And I miss living down there sometimes.
Yeah, I bet.
But no. Nah.
You're not going to have that happen here in New York. Yeah.
No.
They would never allow that.
I know. I mean, it's another weird thing because I'm used to, around where I was at, man, people had guns on their side.
Yeah, in New York, that's not going to happen. I mean, we abide by the New York City laws here in northern New York. I mean, it's different up here, completely different than down in that city. But, I mean, I have guns, but I don't want everybody down in New York City to have guns. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just different up here. I mean, you know, if they were to take New York City and make it like the District of Columbia, I mean, our taxes would be lower and life would be a little bit different, I think.
I mean, I don't want to get on like a weird gun thing, but the thing about this area is I wake up in the morning and nobody's been shot.
Right.
You know?
No, absolutely.
I'm used to waking up down there and there's several people been shot.
This is for the most part like really, really good people up here.
Yeah.
There's a couple of ones that are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, bro. Yeah. But all in all, they're all really, really good. You can use that, the cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
I like that.
If you want to. I was going to say.
That's going to be on the promo.
Yeah, absolutely. But they're, you know, for the most part, they're really, really good people up here. And it's weird coming back because now I'll run into people and we'll have conversations about the TV show or whatever, and then they say exactly what you said. You know my mother. And I'm like, wow, this is so weird. You know, when you leave when you're 19 and then you don't come back until you're 46.
Yeah.
You know, that's a pretty big gap.
And I was just having a conversation with one of my with a customer earlier today. I was like, you know, the real thing that kind of motivates the podcast too is I don't have history here, you know? Right. And it's a weird thing for me trying to make it my home because I make friends, and then it's kind of weird when they go off talking to the other people about people that they've known forever.
Right.
So I'm like, man, you know, it's...
Yeah, you'll make your own memories.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's just like...
Have you gone to Sackett's Harbor and went to the museum and watched the videotape of the War of 1812 and got all that history?
I have not, but I have been on a battlefield kind of kick lately. I went to...
You want to go do that.
Yeah, I went down to Maryland and looked at one. And
I've been on the USS Constitution in Boston. That was pretty neat. Really? That was pretty crazy there.
Memorial Day, actually, we drove to Lake George because I like that movie, The Last of the Mohicans, went to Fort William Henry for Memorial Day. Yeah. And when we went to Antietam, when I met my brother halfway to pick up my kids from the summer.
Right.
And it was, you know, the big Civil War battle there.
That's great. There's a lot of history. A lot of history up in this area. I watched that movie. Was it Tubman? I think it was Tubman. Well, it's about Harriet Tubman. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know she was buried in Auburn.
Really?
And I happened to be going to Auburn the next day for work. So I drove, went right to the cemetery. There's her tombstone.
Wow.
I mean, you're talking like, wow, I never knew that. Probably because I was a horrible student. And they probably mentioned it every 4 days. And I was paying, you know, I wasn't paying attention. But you thought that they would have covered that in social studies, history.
Yeah.
And I had Mr. Williamson as my teacher, later my principal. And he covered everything. That guy was phenomenal. But it's like, wow. That's like, how did I not know that? There's so many cool, the bass player for Tesla lives in Auburn, New York. How do I know that? And I don't know that Harry Tubman is buried in New York.
Post Malone's from Syracuse.
Syracuse, yeah. I knew that. Yeah. And he just performed. He did the whole Hey Syracuse and the crowd went crazy.
Yeah, I stole it off of TikTok. I saved it in my videos.
Blue Oyster Cult started up here in Clayton. Ronnie James Dio is from, I think, the Oswego area.
And the whole...
You don't know who Ronnie James
Dio is? I have no idea.
Your parents do. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. The guy from The Lord of the Rings was
Viggo Mortensen. Yeah. Absolutely. Richard Grieco, the original 21 Jump Street here. Maggie Reiser, who was a supermodel in, I think, the early 90s. I just saw her. She was at Goodfellas eating this summer.
Really?
Yeah, Richard Grieco. I can remember Richard Grieco. I was at the bookstore buying a Beckett magazine to see how much my baseball cards were because I wasn't reading a book when I was in high school. And I might have been in junior high at the time. And I'm looking through the value of baseball cards, and standing next to me in a black trench coat with a bandana on was Richard Grieco.
Wow.
And I thought, that's crazy.
Did his brother or something do the artwork down there?
I think so, yes.
It was somebody with the same
I know he name. Does. He does paintings. I know that. But he's out in L.A. now.
I want to say
But there's other people that are relatively famous from, like, there's a kid named he's a grown-up now, Kyle Pusha, who's written... you know, musicals, and he works with Lisa Loeb, and there's other cool people not as famous as Viggo Mortensen, who's famous as they come, who should have won an Oscar, by the way, for the Green Book. Are you kidding me? Did he watch that?
Wow.
Unbelievable actor.
The Tommy John or something from up here.
Tommy John's from the New York Yankees. I'm a Red Sox fan, so whatever, Tommy John.
But you got that's good.
You know you're famous when they name a surgery after you.
Yes, because I am a Atlanta Braves fan, and I do not like the Yankees.
I hate the Yankees.
I really do.
I'm a weird, like, I'm a Celtic fan
mm-hmm.
in basketball. I'm friends with Paul Pierce from the Celtics. I'm a Red Sox fan, and then hockey. I don't really understand hockey all that well. And then I'm a diehard Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Like, I knew Franco Harris before he died. I did the celebrity flag football game at the Super Bowl back in maybe 17, whenever it was in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's there lining up, and I'm with Rocky Blyer from the Steelers, who lost his foot in Vietnam and came back and still won 4 Super Bowls. And when they're playing, I'm on the field, obviously, with all the people. Mm-hmm. As they're playing the national anthem, I go right beforehand, I go sprinting down just so I could stand next to Mary Lou Retton and salute during the national anthem. So,
wow.
Yeah. So I'm a diehard Steeler fan. I go every year to a Pittsburgh Steeler fan. My best friend's a trooper just north of Pittsburgh, and I go to a Steeler game every year with him. Diehard. Troy Polamalu, my son had cancer his entire senior year of high school. So Troy Polamalu, I'm reaching out to every person that I know to try to cheer the kid up. Troy Polamalu sent him a gigantic email saying, hey, once you're better, I'm sending you a plane for you and your father, and you're coming to a game. I never took him up on it, obviously, but just the fact that he reached out, like, wow, man, you're a phenomenal human being.
I'm going to say something. Right. I'm a Carolina Panther fan. I'm sorry. Terrible. They're terrible.
They are.
But something cool.
Watertown Red and Black could beat them. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, you're right. But D'Angelo Williams played for the Panthers for a long time. Mm-hmm. Then he played for the Steelers.
Yep.
The first time I boxed in a ring, he was sitting front row, and I knocked a guy out in 23 seconds.
Oh, you thought you were the man then. Did you look at him, give him the, you're next, D'Angelo?
Yeah, yeah.
Give him a little flex. That's great.
And then the next night, I got the hell beat out of me. But whatever.
Were you up here when the Watertown Boxing Club brought Ray Boom Boom Mancini to town?
No.
Might have been right before you got here. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
To see him. I can remember eating a Spaziani's pizza, watching him box, and the Korean that he was boxing, Suk-Duk Kim, maybe. I might be off on that. I used to have a lot of boxing knowledge, but as you get older, you forget. He actually died in the ring.
No way.
And I can remember watching that while I'm eating pizza going, this is crazy. Yeah.
You were selling me on this pizza hard.
I'm telling... Look, so I have a really good-sized wood-fired pizza oven in my backyard. Kind of like Spisano's got in his kitchen, right? And it makes unbelievable pizzas. It's not a propane one. It's actual wood-fired pizza oven. And it's maybe the third best pizza I've ever had in my life. You have to go to Mr. Subs. You have to order this pizza.
Open?
They're not. I think they close at 6 now.
Oh, man.
I sometimes jokingly curse them out when I go in there and say it's Monday and I had to wait all weekend to have one of these pizzas. But I get it. They've been in the business for God knows how long, and they're older now, and they want their weekends off. They want to enjoy life. So you got to suck it up.
So, that's like this.
Well, have you been to Jean's Beans Fish yet?
I've had a fish sandwich from there.
You got to go in there and get the whole full piece of
fish. I've never been in there or anything. Oh,
man. You had the rolls from there?
I'm not real
good
sure.
Good Lord, buddy.
You know what?
Come on, man.
This is how
you
cheap
have a
I
show
am.
And a podcast about this area. You better buy your furniture from Massey Furniture. You better buy your maple syrup from Sean, too. All right. Have you gone there and watched him make it and have him explain it?
I've been
it?
Invited to come. He said I could come when they're making it. I just found out about it. I didn't know.
I go every year there, man. I'm going to have to take you under my wing, young Jedi.
You must. I'm a big Star Wars guy.
That's cool.
Now I forgot what I was going to say.
Because I'm calling you out on your own show.
Bro. Yeah, you are. Yeah. Oh, no.
You better buy your cars from Caprera.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. I'm buying for myself so far. Nice. Bought 3 for myself since I've been up here.
Nice.
I'm on my third car in 3 years.
Nice.
I'm not even going to tell you what I eat for lunch every day. I get Tim Hortons. I know it's not the best thing in the world, but that's almost the reason why I moved up here.
That's
dude.
As local as you get. Is Tim Horton? That's a Canadian brand.
No, I know, right? Come I was on. Driving. We came up here on a summer vacation, and we were leaving. We're going down 81, and we stop, and I guess right over the border, and there's a Tim Hortons, and I said, "What is this place?"
What do you get from Tim Hortons? What is your go-to?
I like the breakfast farmer's grill wrap or whatever it is, with the Chipotle or whatever on it, and I had their coffee, dude, and I was like,
I've never had a sip of coffee in my whole life. Never. Never smoked a cigarette my whole life. Never done any drugs my whole life. Isn't that crazy? Never had a sip of coffee. I've only had one energy drink, and it was on a dare, and I thought my head was going to explode.
That is amazing.
I don't have any caffeine. I haven't had caffeine since May of 1996 when I was a patrolman on midnight shift, and I'd have about 18 Pepsis a night, and I started eating a hole in my gut. And the doctor was like, hey, you got to stop.
That's incredible. Anyways, I took a little drink of this coffee, and I was like, wow, we can move. I looked at my wife. I said, we can move up here. It's be all right.
Because of Tim Hortons.
Yeah, Tim Hortons coffee.
Oh, man.
But no, I really don't know nothing. Like, I'm really trying to explore the whole.
Like, don't get me wrong. Tim Hortons is good.
Yeah. I know there's better stuff, but it's also kind of cheap, too. I ain't going to lie. I can eat lunch for.
You get paid well enough by the Caprera family, bro.
You know, but I like to spend that money on other things. Like, what? Not nothing. I don't have any hobbies other than
this really nice furniture that Massey took care of you on. That's for sure. But no, man, you have to do all the local stuff.
Yeah, and I don't really know anything about Italian food and stuff. Like, so I get intimidated when I'm like, where we're gonna go out to eat, you know? Like, I don't know what to order. I just order the same thing.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just kind of weird.
Everything at the menu at the Paddock Club is great.
Yeah.
Everything at the Crystal's great. It's the same stuff that's been there since my grandfather was a kid.
That's the first place we went to.
Everything at the Blue Heron's great. Everything at Goodfellow's is great.
Yeah.
Come on, man. We got to work this out. We got to figure this out.
I know. I'm asking. I'm here.
I'm happy you've had Black Betty's from the Time Warp.
Yes.
You got to go to either go to the Rustic or go to Willie's and have their salt and vinegar wings.
I sold a car to somebody from the Rustics.
Did you?
Yeah.
Nice.
He's a big guy. I can't remember his name.
Joe.
Yeah, Joe yeah. something. Yeah.
I'll take care of you, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, so let me get this thing closed out real quick. All right, you're coming back on the show, right?
Okay.
No, your
show.
Oh,
the TV. I thought you meant this. So the TV show should be back next year. So we film it. We'll film maybe 12 episodes in 10 days. The rally is 10 days long.
Okay.
So we'll film those episodes then. That's always the first full week of August. It's the 85th rally, so it's an anniversary year. It's going to be huge. Mm-hmm. It'll be a town of 6,000 people, and it'll roughly go to about 1 million people for 10 days.
Wow.
So we'll film the TV show. Jesse James Dupree is also the creator of the show and the producer, so they'll edit the show, and it'll always air in December. And then my film crew, well, Tristan, the director, so we have our own lifestyle show now on FullThrottleSaloon.com. If you go there now, you can see a couple of episodes have already been done. It may have been in June, I want to say it was. They came up here and filmed me. So they filmed me for 2 days here in the Watertown area. Mm-hmm. Did some stuff out on my deck and my dock. I went over to my old house on Grant Street up in the, we call it the Oratorium. My father's first name's Aura instead of Auditorium. Where my brother has stapled all my old albums to the wall, by the way. Don't even get me going. We did a whole thing up there. And then we went down to the 9/11 Memorial in New York City. So we shot down there. And then I'm friends with Tommy London, who's the XM Hair Nation guy, one of the DJs. And then Britt Lightnin's the guitar player for Vixen. Your parents know who Vixen is. They had a great song, Living on the Edge of a Broken Heart. I've been living on that. It's a great song. But Richard Marx wrote that, by the way. So we hung out with them for the day, and then we went to Boston.
Yeah.
And my friend is the, now she's the, her name's Beth. She's the manager or director of Fenway Concerts at Fenway Park. So she hooked me up with Major League Baseball and got me full access to Fenway Park. So we filmed in Fenway Park for the day. And then we went to the North End and kind of filmed around the Faneuil Hall Irish area and the Italian area where I did some like undercover cool stuff, buying ecstasy and that type of thing. So we walked through all that stuff that we used to do. So it's going to be like a whole, and then they film me at the Full Throttle Saloon, obviously. So there's going to be a whole episode that's going to feature the North Country. We did a huge motorcycle event at the Blue Heron, and I walked in with the, you know, he was filming, and there was like 150 people there going crazy, and we filmed at Arsenal Liquor, and there was a kid, I don't know if he was military or not, but him and I were going back and forth. It was pretty entertaining. I didn't even know the guy, and I loved the kid. So it was fun. So, you know, you're going to get to see a little bit of the North Country on a national TV show, so that'll be kind of neat.
That is correct. Dude, I feel like we're going to have to... I don't have to get you on here every week.
Yeah, right. No. We don't have that kind of time. I don't have that many stories, buddy. I promise you. Just don't talk about the 14-year-old version of me when I would tell the cops that my name was JJ, Jonathan Jeffers, in case they stopped me. They're like, what's your name? I'm like, JJ. They're like, what's your real name? I'm like, Jonathan Jeffers. Where do you live? On Main Street. Get your butt home. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus.
I'm going to steal that alias.
Yeah, it's a good one. Just say JJ. It's a pleasure, brother. Good seeing you, my man. Absolutely.
Yes, sir.